Hello and welcome to today's episode of The Quad Shot, where we help you down and digest the day's most pertinent cancer news. It's March 9th, 2020. Welcome to The Quadcast. Let's dive in. First up, common cores. In practice, it's common to perform multiparametric MRI followed by a targeted and 12-core biopsy combo for prostate cancer. But the question comes up, is all that really necessary? The PRECISION trial showed us that targeted biopsy in men with PI-RADS 3+ lesions led to a lower biopsy rate and a higher proportion being diagnosed with clinically significant, meaning grade group 3 or higher, prostate cancer. The problem is that we, meaning practitioners, are still very worried about misdiagnosis, as opposed to underdiagnosis. Here we have the TRIO study, as published in the New England Journal of Medicine 2020 by Adut et al., that was conducted at the NCI and helped lead to the development of the EuroNav fusion biopsy system. In that study, greater than 2,000 men with suspicion of prostate cancer on MRI underwent both a targeted and 12-core biopsy in order to determine the cancer detection rate of each method. Overall, nearly two-thirds of the cohort was diagnosed with prostate cancer, with almost identical rates of diagnosis made with each biopsy method alone, approximately 52%. Combination biopsy, though, diagnosed 10% more prostate cancer at 62% than either fusion or 12-core alone. As we've seen before, the proportion of clinically significant diagnoses was higher with targeted biopsies than with 12-core, 39% versus 26%. The combination also led to a higher grade group diagnosis in 22% of men. When compared to the gold standard of pathologic evaluation of prostatectomy specimens, 3.5% of combination results, 8.7% of targeted results, and 16.8% of 12-core alone results were upgraded to clinically significant disease. The author's conclusion is that until we have refined the MRI approach, a sizable proportion of men are incorrectly graded by either targeted or 12-core biopsy alone. The bottom line is, performing both MRI-targeted and systematic 12-core prostate biopsies in men with MRI-visible lesions increases the detection rate and diagnostic accuracy of prostate cancer. Up next, triple negative still leaves room for a positive. So in case you're hoping that there's something other than stem cell transplant, which was included in a JAMA Oncology 2020 paper from a 1993 Dutch randomized controlled trial recently, in case you're hoping there's something else in the pipeline for triple negative breast cancer, we've got you covered. Keynote 522 randomized over 1,000 women with stage 2 or stage 3 triple negative breast cancer to neoadjuvant systemic therapy plus or minus the addition of pembrolizumab. We have a publication, the New England Journal of Medicine 2020 by Schmid et al., that highlights the results. While not being required, greater than 80% of patients in each arm were PD-L1 positive. Systemic therapy consisted of an initial 4 cycles of carboplatin and paclitaxel, followed by 4 cycles of doxorubicin and cyclophosphamide. Pembro, or placebo, was given along with both phases plus up to 9 cycles after surgery. Importantly, capecitabine was not allowed. Adjuvant radiation was allowed, as indicated, and was delivered along with adjuvant pembrolizumab. Adding pembro to neoadjuvant therapy significantly increased the co-primary endpoint of pathologic complete response rate by an absolute value of 14%, going from 51% to 65%. With both PD-L1 positive and PD-L1 negative disease achieving equal absolute benefits. Among those who were PD-L1 positive, the improvement was from 55 to 69%, compared to an improvement of 30 to 45% if the patients were PD-L1 negative. Okay, so what's the big deal about PathCR? Well, as you may know, for triple negative breast cancer, which has poorer outcomes than receptor positive breast cancer in general, a PathCR in this subgroup is associated with significantly better survival. But there still remains a few looming questions. While the co-primary endpoint of event-free survival favored the pembrolizumab arm, there was insufficient follow-up to prove a statistical improvement. And what about the 9 extra cycles of adjuvant pembrolizumab? Is all this a package deal? And should the adjuvant pembrolizumab be dropped for capecitabine if there isn't a PathCR? Because we know that Xeloda has previously demonstrated improved overall survival in patients with HER2-negative tumors that don't achieve a PathCR as per the CREATE-X trial. The bottom line is, adding pembrolizumab to neoadjuvant chemotherapy for triple-negative breast cancer dramatically improves the pathologic complete response rate. Up next, literal results. We learned in abstract form at ASCO 2018 that neoadjuvant chemoradiation improves overall survival when compared to upfront surgery for resectable or borderline resectable pancreatic cancer. Now we have the full manuscript as published in JCO 2020 by Verstein et al., and it pulls back on some of the punches that were initially described at ASCO. As a reminder, 246 patients with resectable or borderline resectable pancreatic cancer were randomized to preoperative 2.4 gray times 15 for a total of 36 gray, concurrent with 3 cycles of gemcitabine, followed by surgery, then 4 cycles of adjuvant gemcitabine, versus upfront surgery, followed by 6 cycles of gemcitabine. Unfortunately, unlike at the time of abstract reporting, this analysis demonstrates no statistical improvement in the primary endpoint of overall survival among all enrollees, at 14 months without radiation versus 16 months with radiation. But it's not all lackluster. The secondary endpoint of disease-free survival was statistically improved. More importantly, a number of enrollees never made it to surgery in either arm after staging laparoscopy, washing out distinctions in the primary intention to treat analysis. In fact, only 72 out of 119, or 61%, went to surgery in arm 1, and only 92 of 127, or 72%, went to surgery in arm 2. Among this predefined subgroup of 164 patients in total, the rate of R0 resection remained significantly improved, taking the R0 resection rate from 40% to 71%, as well as overall survival, improving survival from 20 months to 35 months. In other words, if this trial had specified a negative staging laparoscopy as an inclusion criterion, we'd be seeing much bigger headlines. A more global lesson from this chain of events is to take abstract results for what they are, provocative concepts that need to be fleshed out in full-length, finalized analyses. The bottom line is, among patients with health and disease amenable to pancreatic cancer resection, pre-op chemoradiation improves disease-free and overall survival and laparoscopy remains a crucial component of staging. Up next, more neovolumab. Oral cavity cancer is bad, not least of which is due to their significant morbidity incurred by definitive treatments. This phase 2 trial, as presented at the Multidisciplinary Head and Neck Cancer Symposium 2020 by Schoenfeld, evaluated what would happen if a short course of neoadjuvant nivolumab plus or minus ipilimumab was added to resection 3 to 7 days later for 30 patients with T2 plus and or N1 plus squamous cell carcinoma of the oral cavity. While its itis toxicities were as expected, importantly, no surgery was delayed due to neoadjuvant treatment. At the time of resection, over 2/3 achieved a volumetric response, and over 1/3 achieved a greater than 50% pathologic response. And remarkably, 4 patients, or 13%, achieved a complete path CR. The bottom line is, short course neoadjuvant immune checkpoint inhibitors may pave the way for much needed de-intensification of definitive therapy for oral cavity squamous cell carcinoma. Up next, single cell. Meaning a single design can lead to market-ready drugs for sale. This editorial in Nature Medicine 2020 by Yoff et al. Explains how single-cell RNA sequencing techniques may provide the linchpin we've been looking for to explain the spectrum of responses to immune checkpoint inhibition for what appear to be identical cancers, namely heterogeneous cellular ecosystems, such as immune cells and tumor stromal cells, that make or break immunotherapeutic success. Up next, global. This recent publication by Shakina Elmore et al. In the Red Journal 2020 highlights the fact that the majority of radiation oncology residency program directors say that they appreciate global health as a potential academic career, but only 8% report having dedicated global health rotations. Finally, animal rescue. It may actually work both ways. Check out this heartwarming story by Chino in JCO 2020 of how an adopted cat helped a grieving widow blossom into a successful oncologist. This concludes today's episode of The Quad Shot. If you like what you've heard, please consider giving us a 5-star rating and subscribing to our podcast. Also, check out our website at www.quadshotnews.com and subscribe to our newsletter. We'll catch you next time.